This is Jordan, and you're listening to the Code 7 Podcast Network.
Warning. This episode contains the three A's of podcasting: adult content, adult language, and awesomeness. You've been warned.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
Good afternoon, this is Ricardo with the Code 7 Podcast Network, and this is going to be episode 211 of Within the Trenches, a podcast based on the experience of being a 911 dispatcher. So these past few days, this past week, I have posted a couple episodes, all the episodes from the APCO conference. I finally got the audio from APCO for my Imagine Listening session. That was an amazing session, and the podcast just turned out great. I had so many stories that were coming through on those. So it had Imagine Listening as well as open mic. And I ended up posting up episode 209 and 210, and with Brian about tactical dispatching, and then with Jill and Doug from Show Walter and Company. Those were some excellent episodes, so make sure to check those out. And I've got some upcoming presentations. I'm going to be in Kentucky at their conference. I'm also going to be at the North Carolina conference. I'm going to be there as their keynote speaker, as well as doing the podcast, and I'll be doing an Imagine Listening session there. And then Alabama, I'll be there for a 3-hour block of a session. That's going to be a super session that I'm doing. And that one is going to be an excellent one. It's going to be a combined of my keynote speech as well as Imagine Listening and open mic. So make sure you have your stories ready, especially for Imagine Listening. You'll have a chance to earn yourself an official I Am 911 challenge coin. And open mic, remember, those are the stories where we talk about all the funny stuff that happens in dispatch, the stuff that ends up, on the radio, it ends up on late night talk shows, all of those blunders. That is what we're going to be talking about for open mic. So I can't wait to see all of you there, and it's going to be a good time. And also, I launched on August 24th, the second anniversary of the birth of the I Am 911 movement, which is actually I Am 911 Day. National I Am 911 Day, and there were so many people who were sharing that day. I was looking at the impressions on Twitter, and the impressions ended up totaling over 250,000 impressions on that, and it was just amazing. I can't thank you guys enough. But I launched my new website, and it is withinthetrenches.net. So make sure to check it out, share it. All the I Am 911 stories are going to be added to that website, where all of them currently are held on the Facebook page in the I Am 911 album. So again, make sure to check that out. Share it, withinthetrenches.net. So my guest today is Patrick Boats, and he is the Director of Engagement with NICE Public Safety, as well as the co-author of the High Performing PSAP. How's it going, man?
It's going great. Hey, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Ricardo.
Yeah, no, thank you for being on. So we've been talking a little bit. Actually, I've been talking to Linda, and you guys have been posting about, and this was right before the APCO conference, and it had been posting up first about nominations for this PSAP Finest Awards that you guys have, and then coming up to the APCO conference in Las Vegas, Nevada, for the 2018 conference, you guys did a ceremony, and I had sent a message, or a tweet rather, I think I retweeted it and said, you know, we should get together sometime and do an episode to kind of talk about this award. And I ended up getting a message from her on LinkedIn, and we connected, and we were going to do something, and then all of our schedules were just kind of all over the place. But, you know, of course, we're busy. We've got a lot of stuff going on. So I'm glad to finally get you on so that we can talk about this, but as well as some quality assurance stuff. So first off, just to start out, to introduce you and, you know, NICE to my listeners, what is it that that NICE is, and what do you guys do?
Yeah, so here at NICE, we specialize in software solutions for quality assurance, like you mentioned, evaluating calls, multimedia incidents, as well as capturing all of the multimedia that's coming in, you know, not only from traditional means, but now next next-gen 911 and FirstNet, all this broadband multimedia information, right? So you have not only calls, but text messages, and video going to be coming in shortly, and all the associated data that comes with, sharing multimedia back and forth, from citizens, the PSAP, and then out to first responders and so forth. So capturing all of that, being able to analyze all that information, and then efficiently and effectively share it with either the public or district attorney or whoever requests that incident information. So, that's really what I do is talk to our customers. We have over 3,000 public safety agencies that do use the NICE solution and figure out ways to automate quality assurance, automate the audio reproduction process, and automate the reporting, right? So instead of waiting till the end of the month to get performance metrics on what's happening for PSAP, they're giving you near real-time metrics, and they work really closely with our engineering team to make that possible for you. So you can spend more of your time saving lives and improving the way your center operates.
See, and that's pretty awesome, because I remember when I was in dispatch, I dispatched for 13 years, and whenever QAs would come around, of course everybody gets nervous because, you've got all these calls. The way we did it is it would be one non-emergency and then one emergency. And, I would always think in my head, okay, all the calls that I've taken, I made sure to get everything right. Cause we had this sheet, and it was a printed out sheet where, and I knew this once I became a supervisor, because I was doing all the QAs as well with the rest of the team. But, they would hand us these, the paperwork after doing our QAs. And, the very first thing is, what's your location? And that would be just, for example, 100 points. And then the phone number, another 100 points. And then, you would get to the name, and then what exactly is the emergency? Are there, out of the suspects, how many, and then how many weapons and all the other stuff. So automating it like that, way, way easier, because I would be sitting in the room and, let's say I had four people on my team, I would have all of those calls that I would listen to. So I would be stuck in the room, and then I would have to open the door. I remember I would open the door and look out and say, "You guys all right? Is everyone okay? You don't need anything? Anybody got to use the bathroom?"
Yeah, absolutely.
So by automating,
it's a big thing. And, two calls, that's not really a lot. So what we're trying to get to, and the new standards, the APCO NINA standards, really trying to get to a higher percentage of calls. So, a 2% of all calls and 100% of all high acuity or priority one calls. So, to get to that level, doing it manually on paper, and it's a great start, and we highly encourage, I'm happy when I see any program in place, right? But really what takes a lot of the time is finding those calls, the calls that really matter, right? Because what if that one call is not really worth listening to, how coachable is that? So, getting to a higher number of calls, and not only calls, but now text messages and so forth, that those need to be incorporated, and dispatching, right? Radio communications all need to be evaluated as well. So, I'm passionate about quality assurance. I've been doing, consulting in the area for 15 years, and recently partnered with Denise Amber Lee Foundation for the past 3 years. And we're doing a roadshow of free training seminars around the country right now. We mostly just recently had one in Denver and Fort Worth and Tampa, and we're having one in Louisville coming up in the Philadelphia as well. Mm-hmm. And so it's a passion of ours. Those are full day sessions where we go soup to nuts, play example calls, we score them, in the classes, and everyone really gets to learn how to improve their QA program, because agencies are at all different levels, I would say, within, advancements within their QA. Some still using paper, which is fine. Some have moved to spreadsheets. Some are automating, call selection. So we now integrate with the CAD system, so automatically pick the calls you really want.
Oh, man, that's even better.
Yeah, so you don't have to, go to the CAD system first, you know, look for the call, write it down, go back to the recording system, try to find that call. So you just serve, you know, serve if you want all high priority, you know, priority one fire calls, or, you know, you could do 5% of all domestic violence calls or whatever you want. We'll serve those up for the either the supervisors, or now more and more agencies are even using dedicated QA analysts, or even peer-to-peer monitoring is becoming more popular. So having kind of not someone on your team per se, but maybe on another team evaluate you and provide feedback. So it's cool. We're certainly encouraged. We have a goal within 5 years of having every agency performing consistent quality assurance, which means, you know, not waiting till the end of the month. I call it gang monitoring, you know, trying to finish all the evaluations and then, you know, providing feedback 27 days after the call, and they can be making the same mistake over and over and over for 27 days. So, you know, consistently a few calls a week at least per telecommunicator. And we're getting there. We're making some really good progress.
No, that's really good, especially that, you know, you guys have partnered up with the Denise Amber Lee Foundation. I'm pretty good friends with them. And, you know, for sure in the start and, you know, the whole goal and, you know, everything that they're doing, you know, based upon their story, it's a no brainer for them to end up doing something with having to do with quality assurance as well. And, you know, just thinking back from when I was in dispatch, now this is over 5 years ago now. And at that time, you know, we were doing everything on paper, but I'm pretty sure that now, maybe recently within the last year and a half or so, they are actually using your guys' system. So I'm sure that their quality assurance is completely different now than from when I was there. So it's probably way easier now.
Yeah. We're happy to hear that. And, it's just one of those things. It's a game changer, and, mm-hmm. and you know, it's all about getting that consistency of coaching and providing. You know, you can provide feedback if you're, you know, disagree with the question. It just, you know, a lot of that, those processes take a lot of time, and it's really about resources. We don't, you know, in public safety, we don't have unlimited resources, right? So we're trying to kind of automate what we can for you, so you can really focus on, you know, the coaching aspect of it, and focus on, you know, the types of calls and major incidents that really need, you know, review. So next time those things happen, you know, you're in good shape, and also protect your agency, right, from liability and risk, you know, to be able to pinpoint things a lot quicker. And
now with
next gen 911 and text and multimedia, you know, coming in fairly soon, you know, it's going to be even more and more important that, you know, we do consistent quality assurance, because we're going to be learning new systems, new processes, dealing with seeing things, right? Which is a whole different story. You could do a whole podcast on just that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Visual aspects and the stress associated with seeing things. And deciding what needs to be pushed out to the first responders and what shouldn't, and, you know, that's the situational awareness piece of it. That's, you know, there's a lot coming down the pipe, and so we really need to carefully monitor and coach through this process in order to be successful and not make any major mistakes.
Yeah, there's a lot that ends up coming in with this now, because you think about, you know, currently we're taking the 911 calls voice. And there are a lot of dispatch centers out there that have added text to 911 as well. The company that I work for here in Indiana, my 9-to-5, we provide text for 911. So I also have trained dispatchers on it. But I also think about the fact that, you know, when I was taking voice calls, there's so much to listen to that help you determine what is going on for that call, to determine what response to send, and, you know, all different types of things just by listening to the background. Now, when you're dealing with text to 911 or text from 911, where you have the ability to have dispatch initiate a text from 911 on a 911 hang-up call or a butt dial or something, you take all of those human elements away. All of those things that you've really paid attention to just by listening is gone. So I can't imagine what what the quality assurance is like when you're taking away, you know, of course the basic stuff is there for, you know, location, trying to get someone's location, even though, you know, text 911 is really, when the location comes in, it's really nothing. You still get something, but it's not that great. You know, a lot of us are partnering together to work on better location accuracy and stuff, but either way, you know, when it comes to the quality assurance piece of it, you know, you take those human elements away and it's just, you're just chatting back and forth basically, then you really gotta double down and jump in and think outside of the box. You know, all of the stuff I would say to the person, you know, I would verbalize this, but now I've got all of that stuff I have to type out and really throw out there to them and hope, you know, they're going to respond to me fast enough when they're texting.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, so a couple of things we do as well is we kind of try to look holistically at the entire incident as well. So what happened, you know, so you get to see all the CAT events on the timeline now because we are, you know, integrated with CAT. So you're not just going to see the text, you know, capture the text as well, and you can search on that. But we record, you know, three to four monitors as well, so you can see what happened in the CAT. So you, when you QA now, you're essentially watching a movie of what was happening right on their screens. Even if there's no audio, you get to see everything that was going on. So you get to see how things were dispatched, you know, how they interacted with the CAT and so forth, and you know, the radio piece as well. So you get a more of a holistic view nowadays versus just the intake piece of it, if you will, just that initial conversation. So,
gotcha.
So that really helps.
You know, one of the things that I ended up finding and doing some of the research on some, you know, the things that you guys do was there's a website, well, it's your guys' website, nice.com, but there's a blog post on here and the title of it is 35 APCO Public Safety Quality Assurance Webinar Questions Answered. And this is one of the things that I'm probably going to put up on the blog post that goes along with this episode. This was something that was done. It shows April 12th, 2017. And there is just a wealth of knowledge here with these questions. And it really made me think back to when I was dispatching. But one of the things that caught my eye is question number four. And it says, can public safety quality assurance be used for discipline? And the answer here is no, but there's also a big explanation here. And I was wondering if you could elaborate on that.
Yeah, so we really look at quality assurance as a learning tool that's focused on improvement. So it's not really intended to be a disciplinary instrument. You know, quality assurance scores, you know, they will certainly, you know, many times be put with the employee's HR file and so forth. But it's really meant to acknowledge telecommunicators that are doing a really great job and reaffirm those that are following the policies and procedures. And then those are not, that aren't following, right, the protocols. So we're all trying to, whether it's, you know, different protocols, whether it's part of dispatch or APCO or Parphone or your own, you know, if you're not following those, then it's really about just a coaching instruction tool to get those employees back on track. So, you know, we talked about turnaround time earlier. The getting, you know, reviewing these evaluations quickly and allowing them to listen and see your scoring of those, you know, within a day or so they don't make that same mistake over and over. You know, that's important. So we look at it as more a coaching tool. If the errors occur over and over, the same kind, even after coaching and after training, then, you know, then it makes sense to put a TC on a performance improvement program and then perform disciplinary action. But, you know, there's a lot that you can get done with quality assurance used as more of a coaching improvement tool and to avoid having to even get to that thing.
Right. Yeah, definitely. And a good, you know, kind of segue into one of your award winners is just like what you were saying. You know, you're using the quality assurance and the results from it to see, you know, a lot of the dispatchers that are out there, the TCs that are doing a very good job. And if you could talk a little bit about your most recent winner.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're pleased to announce the PSEP's Finest Awards. It's an independent panel of your peers. We don't do the judging. We just kind of facilitate the program. We've been doing it now, I believe, for 13 years. So we started in 2006, and it just keeps growing and growing the popularity of this. And our 2018 PSEP's Finest Telecommunicator of the Year is Ryan Culliver. He's from Ottawa County Central Dispatch Authority in West Olive, Michigan. And I had the pleasure of meeting Ryan at APCO, and he's just all around standout guy. He is responsible for daily level of dispatching police, fire, EMS within Ottawa County. He just does a really great job, especially when callers are panic-stricken. He uses a really calming tone of voice and inflection, and obviously follows the protocols really well. In fact, he had outstanding quality assurance evaluation scores at 95% on average.
Wow.
Nearly 10,000 calls answered. So just a fantastic, really cool guy too. And in September of 2017, he was also awarded what's called a Smart Save Award for utilizing the Smart 911 chat feature to provide assistance to a caller that was actually using that application. So I thought that was really, really neat as well, kind of using some other advanced tools. And he spent several years with one of the local fire departments in the county. So he is a really great fountain for knowledge when it comes to fire, and a great resource with dealing with fire-related incidents. He also helped train the staff there at PSAP and CPR, he volunteered to complete the train-the-trainer course through the American Heart Association to keep their certifications for CPR up to date and help reduce costs through that whole recertification process. He's also a certified training officer, a CTO, and has successfully trained several new employees.
Man, that is pretty awesome.
Yeah, the guy's awesome. So Ryan, you know, congratulations. And you know, he does all this while balancing, you know, a new wife and a newborn baby, which I know firsthand is not that easy.
So, right. Yeah, no, that's pretty awesome. And there's actually one more thing that happened during that time in Vegas. But before I get to that part, I want to say this really quick. Some of the other recipients, the categories that you guys have, there's a PSAP of the year, there's director of the year, line supervisor of the year, technician of the year. And then, of course, as we're talking about Ryan, telecommunicator of the year, there's also an innovator of the year, and then your trainer of the year. So this is awesome that you guys recognize all these people for doing this stuff, especially in this, you know, in this whole group. But one of the things that also came out of getting that award and just really, you know, puts in perspective the type of worker and passion for 911 that this gentleman is. While he's getting honored that week for, you know, for the award that he got from you guys, also at this at this conference, himself as well as Megan, he had two coworkers there. They're both named Megan. They actually helped out, you know, save a woman who had fallen into a pool there in Vegas. And this is off of the Grand Haven Tribune, and I'm going to put this on the blog post as well, so that other people can see it. But I'm just going to read a little bit here, and it talks about the three of them. It says that they grabbed towels and dried off the woman so that they could use an AED on her, because she was unresponsive. You know, she was unconscious, and she was unconscious for, it looks like, it says that they took turns with the lifeguard to do CPR on the unconscious woman for about 10 minutes until emergency personnel arrived. And this was according to the executive director, Tim, out of Ottawa County. And then at the end, the deputy director ends up saying, "Our selfless folks jumped in while others stared and did an outstanding job rendering aid and working with the lifeguards and on-site medic team. They are truly heroes." And that is definitely the truth. I know a lot of people there in Ottawa County when I was working in dispatch still, I was working in Allegan County, and Ottawa is the county just north of the county that I used to work in. So they were our, you know, our backup there, and, you know, one of our surrounding agencies. So they are all excellent workers. And, you know, just reading this, having this come out, this was amazing for it to happen, especially there getting that award from you guys.
Yeah, no, it's just truly incredible. You know, I saw that as well. I was like, wow, I mean, what more can you do? So thanks. Thank you so much, Ryan and Megan. That's just awesome.
Yeah, exactly. So going into the wrap up of this episode, I feel like there's another episode, like a follow up. Well, I'll say this: there is going to be a follow up coming up with Ryan, as well as both Megan and Megan, to talk about not only his award, but their dispatch stories, their experience, and everything that they've done in dispatch so far. And especially there's the save that they had. They're going to be coming on to talk about that. So that's going to be the follow up episode. But I think, with you and I, we is what I'm getting at, we have a follow-up episode, because I think there's more on quality assurance. I think what I might do is put out a message to those who listen, and on my Facebook podcast page as well, all the followers that are on there, just short of 50,000 likes and followers. So I'm thinking that I'm going to put something out just to see if they have any questions to ask about quality assurance as well, because, you know, talking with my admins about quality assurance, it really brought me back, and I thought, you know, there's a lot of stuff that could be answered, or maybe even a guest blog post or something from you guys, but I feel like there's a little bit more here. So going into the wrap-up of this episode, how can people find out about NICE, you know, your social media, website, and, you know, how do they nominate someone for the following year?
Yeah, so the best way is to follow us on NICE.com. We have a blog there. You can follow the blog or NICE Public Safety on Twitter. We're constantly, almost daily, you know, putting a lot of great information out there. And you know, regarding a future opportunity to dive a little deeper on quality assurance, we'd really value that and love to help out. Perhaps even bring, you know, Cheryl Orenberg or Nathan Lee or Ryan Chambers, who we do work with, and Denise Amberlee, also great resources. We could kind of maybe do something together. So we look forward to that opportunity and the opportunity to work with you. If you have any questions, you can reach out directly to me at patrick.boltz@nice.com, and I'll pick up the phone and give you a call.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you very much again for being on. I appreciate it. It's a lot of good information. And for those who are listening, if you have any comments, questions, or you want to be a guest on the show, you can email us. And that's going to be WTTpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, and that's @901podcast. You can like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/withinthetrenchespodcast. This episode, along with all the others, will be available 24/7 on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, your favorite podcasting app, and withinthetrenches.net. And as always, this episode is supported by InDigital, the leader in next-gen core services. Have a good one, everybody.
You just listened to a Code 7 Network podcast. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to wttpodcast@gmail.com.